We move into the second half of Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Fun day on the show. Of course, there are hockey games later today, the showcase games, exhibition, if you want to call them that, starting later today. Of course, the Predators have theirs on Thursday. There are football players across the country in the NFL reporting to camp. Some have opted out. That's been a big story today. But our next guest is a guy that has, again, put together a really comprehensive evaluation of the quarterbacks in the league. That always makes for great sports talk. I can remember we went through this last year, up and down, and he has done it again. Mike Sando from The Athletic has done the 2020 quarterback tiers. 50 coaches and evaluators rank the NFL starters, and it is outstanding. And I can remember last year some of the debates we had just based on this info, but I love listening to the quotes and some of the insights of these experts. Mike, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's good to be here. Thank you.
Well, Mike, let's first define, because I like the simplicity that you use, because I think it makes a lot of sense as to how to define a quarterback in tier one, tier two, tier three, and so on. So without going into too much detail, let's just take, for example, a tier one quarterback and how you would define that.
Right. So being the best, and as you go down, you're not as good. And really the idea is, how much help do you need to be a successful quarterback in the league, right? What's the context of your success? So if you're in tier one, you know, you don't necessarily have to have a top 10 defense or a great running back that you hand it off to. If you're losing in the Super Bowl 28-3, heck, you got a chance. You got a tier one guy, right? We're going to drop back to pass 50 times and defense is more worried than we are on offense, right? Whereas if you had a quarterback who really wasn't all that, let's just say you had a tier three quarterback. So in the past, Andy Dalton was always usually a tier three quarterback, you know, pretty good player, but down 28-3 in the Super Bowl, it's probably going to be 48-3 by the end of the game, right? I mean, he's not going to just put it on his back and throw you back in, but he could be a real successful player in 2015 with Cincinnati when they had a stacked offensive line. They had great wide receivers, good running game, good defense. Heck, he goes to the Pro Bowl then.
So, Mike, you just sort of take that the personnel you, and you have a voting system, and that's how you roll out the ranking. So it's really interesting how it evolves from year to year. For example, we had, as you can imagine, backwards and forwards discussions daily about Marcus Mariota and how – under your system, I think we were all hopeful that maybe someday he could climb from a tier three up to a tier two, perhaps in a best case scenario, but at least stay in that tier three. It's interesting how over time it has slipped a little bit, and he is clearly in the tier four right now as he goes over to play for John Gruden.
Yeah, yep. I think he peaked in the third tier where you had some hope he could be there, and then last year it just didn't go well, and he's benched by the end of the year. And so a tier four, if you get a tier four, you're usually sometimes you've only started half a season in your career, so we don't really know what you are. You get a four. Or it could be sort of, you know, we know exactly sort of what you are, and it's not really – we're not excited to see you start the whole year, you know, and be the starter. And that's kind of where he's at until he can play his way out of it. And maybe he can find better, you know, a reset in Oakland or in Las Vegas now and going about his business. He certainly has talent, but we just didn't see him making enough of a difference.
Of course, you can imagine here people would be very curious to know your crew's evaluation of Ryan Tannehill. He is, for the record, in this ranked 18th, and he is in tier three. He got 10 tier two votes. The vast majority out of the 50 had him straight up tier three, 38 out of the 50. He even got a couple of tier fours. But What was the biggest insight that jumped out at you based on how to evaluate Tannehill's great partial season last year for the Titans?
Yeah. Well, I think the presence of Derrick Henry in an amazing running game, gave him a play-action option that certainly made his life easier. So no one thinks, I'm sure even in the Titans don't think, that you're just going to average 9 yards per attempt forever, right? I mean, it's probably going to even out over the course of the season. I think what was most interesting to me, though, was hearing one of the voters that I quoted in the piece say, hey, if you remember when he was in Miami, Jay Ajayi had back-to-back 200-yard rush games. And at that time, you heard their coaching staff start to talk about, hey, you know what? Tannehill's starting to get it. He's starting to he's going to be good. And then he got hurt, and he was hurt ever since, and he never really got it back. So I think there's some hope. That's what those 10 Tier 2 votes probably are, is just hope that, you know, it's a pretty good situation in Tennessee right now. And maybe we can see what the Dolphins were hoping he was going to be, which doesn't mean, I think, that he's going to be the second half of the season. That's not even, you know, that was like Mahomes level, you know. I mean, that's not realistic,
right.
But that he could be a good starter and they can be a playoff team that wins in the playoffs. I think that's the hope.
That is one of the things, Mike, that jumped out, is that the fit is so important. And I guess it took them even longer than, in retrospect, if they knew how good of a fit he was going to be with Arthur Smith and the personnel they had around, they probably would have gone to him earlier in the season. But it really did all right. Come together. And as you mentioned, that is the key to this whole thing. Tier 3 is not necessarily a knock on Tannehill. It's just what he is in a vacuum. But
Yeah. You
put a Tier 3 in the right fit, you can have a very, very good offense.
Absolutely, and maybe he's a high Tier 3, right? I mean, look at Garoppolo's in Tier 3. He was a few minutes away from winning the Super Bowl, right, with San Francisco. Great defense, a really nice scheme with a good run game, not asking him to do too much. There were games in the playoffs where he threw the ball 10 times or whatever. Sound familiar, right? Doesn't mean he's a bad player. You win with him. You got to be strong around him. And if he is better than that, let's just say in Tannehill's case, he was a top 10 pick in the draft. Maybe he has talent that's better than some of the guys in Tier 3. So maybe he sort of can play at a 2 level with the right support around him, and then you're really in the mix.
Mike Sando is with us from The Athletic. And whenever you do these, Tier 4 is always the one that I'm intrigued by, because I ask the question, okay, who are the has-beens? Who are the ones that could jump out of Tier 4 and actually grow? So I'll start with that. To me, the biggest one that you have here would be Drew Lock. And Drew Lock is ranked 30th, that I think he probably has the most upside of the Tier 4s. I kind of put Mariota over in another group that I'll get to in a second. But do you agree with that Drew Lock probably has the most upside of a Tier 4?
I would think so. You know, I don't know what to make of Haskins, but when you're in Tier 4, it's almost like the less you've played, the more we can imagine how good you're going to be, right? And the more you've played, the more we realize you're not all that. So on the positive side, last year, you know, I think Lamar Jackson was top of the Tier 4, you know, so it didn't mean people didn't think he was going to be a dynamic player. It just meant they hadn't seen enough, you know. So I don't know that Drew Lock's going to be the MVP of the league, but I think you would certainly hope that he would settle into that third tier, maybe be pushing like Kyler Murray was top of the third tier. Could he go that high? I mean, I think that's probably a little optimistic, but good weapons around him, and we'll see.
You have Cam Newton as a Tier 3. Jared Stidham is a Tier 4, the two guys that are projected to be fighting for that starting job with the Patriots, and with all their opt-outs, who knows what that team is actually going to look like. But do you have faith in Stidham to maybe grow into the role, not even trying to compare him to what Brady became, but could he grow into that role and be a starter here for the few years for the Patriots, or is he simply just a career backup in your mind?
You know, I think most of the guys I talk to lean towards the backup. You know, there was some optimism just being, hey, you're in New England, they're really well coached, and they wouldn't move on from Brady if they didn't think they had someone. But then in the end, they signed Cam Newton. So, I don't know that Stidham is necessarily the answer for them long term. Newton has his own questions, right? So maybe Stidham gets to play if Newton's not healthy or whatever. But I didn't get that feel from talking to people that there's just overwhelming excitement with Stidham. I think there was curiosity. And, you know, hey, let's see what he can do. But, is he more than that? I didn't get that feel.
I really want to like him, but he's a 4. That's the quote you have on Marcus Mariota. And that's I think a lot of us felt that way for maybe his entire tenure. Obviously, there were some bright moments in his career here, but it was always just you were left wanting more. Now, with all that said, I kind of feel like he goes into Las Vegas and could possibly do to Derek Carr what Ryan Tannehill did to him. So what do you think about Mariota and his chances of potentially taking the starting job at some point with the Raiders?
Yeah, I think we all get a feel that, you know, John Gruden moves on from quarterbacks. He's not in love with Derek Carr, right? It wasn't the guy he picked. I think we all picture, you know, Gruden maybe with a more outwardly tougher type player. I just think of Rich Gannon when he was there, kind of a scrapper. And I think Marcus was somebody that he liked coming out, probably liked better than Carr. And so we'll see. I think Carr hasn't played horrifically, you know, so how bad would Carr have to play for them to make the change? I don't think we really know that, and they've added some weapons there. So maybe Carr can ride it out, and maybe Mariota's in the mix with somebody they draft next year. And if the record's not good enough halfway through the year, maybe they do make the change to Mariota. If you look at Gruden, where he's at, what does he sort of have left to sacrifice, right? Because, I mean, that's sort of all what happens when it doesn't go well and you're in your second, your third year coaching. It's probably Derek Carr, and you take a look at Mariota for part of the season and then make a decision of where you want to go. I could see that very plausibly.
I drank the Baker Mayfield Kool-Aid last year. You had him as a tier two last year. He's down in a tier three this year. I wasn't crowning the Browns the paper champions like a lot of people, but I thought that Baker Mayfield had what it took to be an NFL quarterback, maybe the wrong head coach. With all that said, when we're having this conversation with you next year, do you believe that Baker Mayfield is back in tier two?
Not necessarily, but I could see him climbing, and I think I would bet on him climbing within tier three and maybe, you know, being towards the upper half of tier three, whereas now he's kind of in the middle to lower half of tier three. And I think what will happen is, you know, they're going to bring that offense there that has been really good for Cousins, Garoppolo, right? It's a heavy play action component to it. It makes life easier for the quarterback. There's fewer just pure drop back situations. They're really going to emphasize the run game. I think they have good talent there. So maybe that structure is good for Mayfield. And maybe if all goes to plan, they're kind of in the mix. You know, they're closer to a 500 team. They have their offense has risen in the rankings, but people are sort of saying, yeah, they didn't really ask him to carry it. And so that's why he's tier three.
We're talking to Mike Sando from The Athletic. Mike, two more quick ones. I really enjoyed this, and we could go on for a long time. We probably will after you hang up. We'll talk about this for a little bit longer. But this has got to be the first time that you did this, that Tom Brady actually slipped into the top of Tier 2. But obviously everybody is wondering what he's got left and how he's going to fit with the new personnel, the weapons around him in Tampa.
I thought I was actually sort of like pleasantly surprised he went to it too. You know, he's just got so much respect from everybody for so long, it would be really easy to just say, well, he's a one and write it off as his weapons were bad. I kind of thought that might happen, but I think, you know, people, at least 28 of the 50 voters put him in the second tier, and so they're seeing a decline, maybe trusting Belichick a little bit, right, that he wouldn't let him out the door if Brady was still at the top. I do think that he can have a bounce-back year. Now, it's a weird year without being able to prepare as much off-season, all that. I think there's some scheme-fit questions, but I don't think he just fell off a cliff and couldn't play anymore. So you put him in a new setting with better weapons and an even bigger chip on his shoulder, I think they get a good year out of him.
And moving up into Tier 1, a guy that is critical to the Titans' fortunes going forward, Deshaun Watson. When he's been out there, been healthy, the Titans have had their hands full with the Texans. We know what kind of drop-off there is when he's not there, but of course, there's going to be a lot of different offensive personnel around him this year. But Deshaun Watson, in a vacuum, your evaluators say he's Tier 1.
Yeah, he made it. That was probably my biggest surprise. And I don't mean that I didn't think he was Tier 1. I didn't know that he would be pushed up there ahead of Brady. But I think the perception is that a couple things. The real perception is that he's doing a lot in spite of bad circumstances, right? And those bad circumstances, you know, not a great offensive line, you know, not necessarily the most innovative team, not a great situation in the front office, right, where there's not really a GM. People are criticizing Bill O'Brien for his handling of personnel. And yet here they are down 16-0 in the playoffs against a really good Buffalo defense. And through sheer will, force of will, Watson puts them on their backs and gets them sort of, you know, there. And they actually had him ahead 24-0, I think, on Kansas City, too. So he's getting perceived of as having carried his team to get him into that those lofty ranks, and you know that's hard to argue. And now we'll see. They moved to DeAndre Hopkins. Is he going to sustain that? Can he do that again? And if he can, maybe he proves that he belongs there.
Mike, great stuff. We enjoyed this. Put this together. Thanks a lot for joining us and sharing some insights.
Thank you.
All right. Mike Sando from The Athletic. 2020 quarterback tiers. 50 coaches and evaluators rank the NFL starters. Once again, Ryan Tannehill, number 18 overall. And by the way, the list goes down to, I think, 50. Because there are some teams that have more than one. Actually, I shouldn't say it's that much. It's the number is 35. They look at the starting quarterbacks, but there are a few teams that have a couple in the mix. So they went ahead and evaluated both, like Carr and Mariota from the Raiders. And so right middle of the pack is Tannehill. And most everybody says the fit is really good. So it's a chance for him to succeed, but they still don't see him, you know, getting way better. It's just that everything came together. You know, so there's a lot of ways we can take this. For example, Lamar Jackson was not voted as a tier one, even though he's the MVP of the league. He's one of the trickiest guys to evaluate. He got 16 tier one votes, 31 tier two votes, and only three tier three votes. But he moved from tier four last year all the way up into the top area of tier two. It's just an interesting way to evaluate a quarterback. There's some great quotes in it, so I recommend checking it out.
I love
Stay
it
tuned.
When he does this.
We'll come back. Oh, yeah. What were you going
to
say, Chase?
That's all I was adding. I like these. I think it's a good way to kind of start the discussion about quarterbacks, especially if you're a team like the Titans were last year of having questions, and now, you know, several other teams like the Raiders of, okay, well, our Patriots, you know, who could it be? Who's going to grab that starting job out of camp?
And it also, it's not discussed in here, but what comes into play for sure is you see this guy evaluated on tier two or tier three, then you start matching up what's his contract, right? Because now Tannehill's in a different pay scale. Last year he was the fun underdog. Now he's getting paid well, so the expectations are higher. So what kind of bang for your buck are they going to get? We'll come back and discuss some of this when we return to Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Good stuff from Mike Sando. The Athletic ranking the quarterbacks does this every year. And pretty interesting. Back here on Darren Donick, Chase on this Tuesday afternoon. Guys, I don't know about you, but it's starting to look like it's getting a little dark down here south of town. I don't know what it's
here.
Like east and west, but I don't know. We got I haven't been checking the weather today. We don't have any baseball, so I don't usually pay that much attention. So are we expecting rain? Are we expecting thunderstorms?
I think it's scattered that you know, this time of year. You never know.
Scattered, smothered, covered.
Covered. Chunked, if you like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tier one, I don't think we need to really waste any time on tier one. Patrick Mahomes is a duh. Russell Wilson is a duh. Aaron Rodgers is a duh. Do you guys still is Aaron Rodgers?
You know, it was interesting. He for the first time, had votes in tier two. There were four people that put him in tier two. I still would have to put him in tier
one. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. But
Drew
still,
Brees
it's not
is now getting a little more divided.
Yeah.
You know, he's 33 for one, 17 for two.
But overall,
I agree with
that,
Watson.
Right?
Deshaun Watson is for sure. So I think we leave that. I don't really think there's any debate. I mean, like you said, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, it's like, but no. In the end, you're not voting them for tier two. So in the end, you got to vote them for tier one. They're just not the no-brainers that I believe, you know, Watson, Wilson, and Mahomes are the no-brainers. Like, don't even discuss it. Moving on. Next, those other two, you kind of go hesitate, and then you go, yeah, but they're still tier one.
Yeah.
So on to tier two, which is a big list.
That's where the debate is.
Yeah. So let's just start with TB12. TB12 in Tampa. Surprised that he was tier two?
I think it's not a surprise because he's at the top of tier two. He's kind of a tweener when you really get down to it. But there are some great quotes in here. This is to me really, and we had a field day with this last year, if you guys remember. And the stuff that they had on Mariota, I'd love to go back and look. Some of the quotes I think were dead on, and we kind of used over and over when examples would come up of Mariota falling short. And listen, you guys know I was always optimistic that he would keep getting better, and he just didn't. And all of those things that were questioned by the evaluators, that ended up being his undoing. You know, not being able to see the field very well, taking his eye off the target and not hanging in the pocket. All of these things were he's going to make some good plays, but if you just make them drive the field, he'll screw something up. Those were the tags that I always thought about as we were watching him lose the job this past year. So here's something on Brady.
By the way, if you were the general manager, I'm just saying you would have been in trouble, man. You would have been talk shows taking a lot of heat for giving Mariota that second contract.
No question.
What was GM Donick doing?
I would have crashed and burned like many a GM, right? Because I was like, sign him, to get a bargain, and commit to him.
And we were like, what?
In retrospect, really, it's kind of like they waited too long. Right, they should have gone to Tannehill. In hindsight's 2020, you know, 2 or 3 weeks earlier. When you get down to it, here's one on because I'm sure we'll come back to Tannehill, but here's one on Brady. A quote: if it's purely Bruce Arians' system, Brady will struggle more because a lot of his game is getting the ball out quick, identifying by formation, man or zone. Bruce Arians' coach quarterbacks get crushed. That's what this person says. I think he can still be good, but he's going to need a running game. Keyshawn Vaughn, come on down. I guess he's got some issues, too. I saw he's injured or something. I don't know what the specifics are. People don't realize New England has a great running game. They had a really good defense. They were in sync for 2 decades in the same system offensively. Now, all of a sudden, Tom has to wait one more second because he's not 100% sure what Mike Evans is thinking. That opens him up to get hit. Can you name a Bruce Arians coach quarterback who did not get crushed? Interesting. Just wondering how the system change will affect Tom Brady.
Yeah. Hmm. And who's the James, you know, there's one that who's the James White. You know, can help him in the backfield? We'd like to think that it could be somebody we know in Keyshawn Vaughn, but you know, he's obviously got other skills he can use. But that's...
Well, we haven't seen him be used that way.
No, not really.
Doesn't mean he can't, but I do wonder what they envision him.
Yeah. Mm. No, I think I would have, if I was voting in this, I would have voted
White.
I would have voted him as a tier one. I would still say he's a tier one, but I do understand.
TB12?
Yes.
Yeah, I would have too.
But I do understand the concerns that have come up in this.
But how could... I guess what I'm just – where is the – I mean, when a player hits the wall, like, you see the wall being hit. And so you can say, uh-oh, like, this is it. But where's the wall? I mean, we talked about this all last year. He had nobody. I mean, nobody. It's a miracle they made to the playoffs. He was so lacking talent around him. I just don't know where the – I mean, all the guy has done is do nothing but get double-digit wins every year, win a division, and go to the playoffs and usually go to the Super Bowl or the conference championship game every single year. And last year was the first year that didn't happen, and everybody went, oh, my gosh. But he was still in the playoffs. I mean, I just don't know – until I see it, I think people have been trying to do this with Drew Brees for a good while. But all he does is just keep going out there and getting it done. So – until you see it, how can you really say just simply because, oh, it's just time. He's 43 now. Like, heaven forbid. It can't.
Right.
I mean, I know he did it at 40, 41, and 42, but this has got to be the year. I mean, you're just throwing darts or you're just hoping and praying that this year's the year finally. I mean, I can't. Until I see it, until I truly – oh, by the way, now look at his targets. Yeah. okay, if he doesn't do anything offensively this year, then I'll say, yep, I think age has finally caught up with Tom Brady. It's finally gotten to him. Okay, father time is finally hitting.
The system change.
But Bruce Arians is not going to hurt him, I don't think.
Just change in systems.
Do you think Bruce Arians hurts Tom Brady?
I don't.
I think he's pretty darn good.
Not necessarily. It's just different. Oh, fantastic.
I mean, he has made quarterbacks look really good. Right? I mean, Bruce Arians got a pretty good track record of making quarterbacks look good.
Yeah, and I'm not necessarily saying he's going to make him look better, because I mean he's Tom Brady, but at this point in his career, I think he's going to get the most out of him. And I'm with you, Darren. I'm not going to say that Brady's hit that wall or he's done until he's sitting on the couch retired. And that's just
or we see a very, very average or below average
sure.
this year with those weapons. I mean, he's loaded offensively.
Which certainly could happen, but I think Tom Brady's entire career has been proving us all wrong. I mean, just from the, you know, being a six-round pick and then the Hall of Fame career that he's had, the whole thing has been, okay, well, all right, he did it again. Didn't expect that. So I just, until I see otherwise, just like you said, I can't really sit here and go, yeah, there are some concerns, or I mean, yeah, he's going to fall off. I certainly understand the concerns that, you know, some of these GMs and evaluators have based on his age, because how could you not? Father Time's undefeated. But again, Tom Brady just keeps proving everybody wrong, and with Bruce Arians, I see it continuing to be a good thing.
I mean, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Rob Gronkowski, Cameron Brate, O.J. Howard. If he just has a very, very so-so offensive year, then I'll say Tom Brady
is
done.
All right, hang it up.
Yeah, he's done. But I'll have to see it to believe it. So I would put him tier one. Lamar Jackson, I think this is an interesting one, right? So what do you guys make of him getting
very
to tier two?
Here's one from a person that voted him tier one, and he had 16 votes. The most dominant guy in the league. How is he not a one now? They tried to take away how much of a this is how he gets to tier two based on this evaluation. That they say the fit is so perfect with how they utilized him.
Right. Well, did we lose Willie?
He got zapped.
Last year, Lamar Jackson was a tier four.
Yep.
In this. A tier four. And, oh, by the way, so now he's a tier two. He got 31 tier two votes, 16 tier one. And here's one that's interesting to me. 3 tier three votes. The MVP still getting tier three votes. Tom Brady didn't get any tier three votes. And I know he went from 1 to 2. Lamar Jackson goes from 4 to 2, but also still got tier three votes as an MVP.
See, I'm one of those that I'm not ready to put him in tier. I agree with tier two. I think tier two is fine with him. But one thing that I know you and I are pretty similar on is need to see it more than once. Last year was a fantastic year. He earned the MVP. But I watched him with my own two eyes in that playoff game. The Titans schemed him well, but he still put up numbers, but they made him make mistakes. We saw the year before in the playoffs, he made mistakes. And so I need to see those go away or be minimized. I need to see him put this type of season together again. And also, he's going to have to, if he's going to stay in this league for very long, he's going to have to adapt and grow from being just the running back playing quarterback. I mean, he's going to have to. Otherwise, he's just not going to last that long. So I need to see it again before I really say, yep, tier one, even though he's the reigning MVP. That's just kind of how I feel.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm not going to take anything away.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yep.
Yeah, we got you.
Am I back?
Yeah, you definitely sound like you got zapped.
Okay.
So did you hear anything about the Lamar Jackson?
It's like a lightning bolt.
Did you hear
anything? Oh, I could hear you guys the whole time, yeah.
Okay.
I heard everything you said.
So what do you make of
going
from 4 to 2?
I think the only people that are downgrading him to – the people that were downgrading him to a 2, even though they were he obviously was the MVP, are just saying that it's such a perfect marriage between him and the system and the defense that they want to see him do it longer. But there are others that absolutely argue that he's already well into tier one because he's just a different guy. One guy says, I think it all boils down to how you view the quarterback position. Is it the tall, traditional white guy who sits in the pocket and makes all the throws, or do you see the quarterback position as evolving and you can use your legs to get out of a jam? If you view that as a priority, then he ranks higher for you. Otherwise, you see him as a running back that day. I feel this is the same discussion as when we had the discussion about Cam Newton when he won the MVP in 2015. So I think those guys are, because they're so innovative, they're so progressive in the traditional view of a quarterback, it makes him a little harder to evaluate. I just don't see how you could not have him tier one when he's the MVP.
Do you think he can make all the throws?
The legs
give out. Russell Wilson changed his style, and Russell Wilson, we know, can make all the throws. Russell Wilson still uses his legs, but he does not run past the line of scrimmage. He may run all around in the backfield, but he doesn't run past the line of scrimmage anywhere near like he did early on in his career. Guys like Vince Young and RG3 came out of the gates red hot. Vince Young was the rookie of the year, RG3, same deal. Once defenses figure you out, and they will eventually figure you out, Lamar Jackson, and he has to concentrate more on throwing than running, are you confident he can make all the throws and do that week in and week out?
Well, until he doesn't, I will put him in tier one. If he gets to the point where his production drops off, then I think you would put him in tier two.
You're not answering the question.
Vince Young, you knew, okay, he had a special rookie year, but it was more about his legs and just everything. But in the long term, that's what you have to do. You have to project. You have to be able to look at things and say, well, that's great now, but long term, can this work? That's the hardest part about a general manager. You have to be able to see through things. And I'm not saying that he's not going to be able to. I'm asking the question, if he can't run like he did this year, it was dynamic, it was off the charts. If he can't do that year in and year out, and he starts getting banged up like Cam Newton and Michael Vick and all the other guys that were dynamic runners, but eventually their body wore down and he's got to make throws rather than use his legs, do you feel confident he can do that week in and week out in the NFL?
Okay, the way I'm looking at it is this is a
anytime Willie's about to say something.
That's what this evaluation is. It's not what's a guy going to look like in 5 years. Tom Brady is not going to be in the league 5 years from now. We're evaluating him on where he is now in his career. So I see Lamar Jackson as a tier one for the foreseeable future. I do think he will get better at weaknesses in his game. I don't know that he'll ever be a pure passer, but I think all those guys you were talking about before got better as passers as they got more experience in the league and they were able to evolve. I'm a big believer in Lamar Jackson.
Vince Young got to be a better passer?
No. Steve McNair did. Russell Wilson did. Obviously, Vince Young did not.
Russell Wilson goes without saying, sure. Did Michael Vick?
That was, I think, actually by the end of his career, he did make a lot of strides in that area. But he was the first to admit, if you watch the 30 for 30 on Michael Vick, he was one that he laments the fact that he did not put in the time to really work on how to evaluate defenses, and he hurt himself with that. He could have been better, and I thought that was really good. But he did start to do that out of necessity when he came back from the suspension. When he got out of jail, he did make strides in that area.
But that's all part of it, right? I mean, Vince
but the
is
fact
the same
remains,
category.
I got Lamar Jackson category in tier one right
late
now.
Late to meetings, last one there, first one to leave. I mean, heard the same stuff. I mean, that is part of it, right? I mean, by the way, that's happening, at least it sounds like it's happening right now in Chicago. Is that not what the head coach is saying about Trubisky? Like, yeah, this cat might want to hang around the facility a little bit more, maybe watch some more film, maybe put a little bit more study into his craft. Has he not been already calling his quarterback out publicly? Isn't that the reason they went out and got
Nick Foles? And Chase, another thing, another facet you mentioned was some of the people that put him in tier two, Jackson, they just want to see him do it for a little longer before they give him. He is the youngest guy. He's the only, let's see what he says here. Voters pushed the 2018 first round pick to the brink of the top tier without much reservation. Jackson is the only quarterback from the 2018 or 19 drafts to crack the top two tiers. So he's the youngest in this category already, and I think if he keeps doing it for another year or two, he'll be a no doubter top tier. But I'd put him there right now. To me, I always argued that Derrick Henry, outside of Jackson, was the most dominant player in the league. He was having the biggest impact on games than anybody else in the league. Even though you can find faults, there on every down, but the fact remains, he dominates the game. Lamar Jackson was like that. Yeah, he doesn't make all the throws, but he dominates. He absolutely dominated the game like no other.
Right, but can he continue to do that?
No one's questioning last season. Right. It's impossible to do that.
But he's also, I don't think this is going to happen, but bear with me on this. But if he just... if the league all of a sudden figured him out and he wasn't as dominant this year, that's not going to be the biggest surprise to me. I don't think it'll necessarily happen because I think Harbaugh and the others, they know how this league works and they know that they're going to have to work with him and he's going to have to do the work and adapt his game and change his game. But if all of a sudden we're having this conversation next year and Lamar Jackson is – falling off, I'm going to go, yeah, but that's what we were concerned about.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is this is not
so if it happened to Mahomes, that's a different deal, right? Where Mahomes has done it long enough to where, like, okay, he's going to dominate. Mahomes
is going to
dominate.
When you throw 50 touchdowns,
you have more questions with
Jackson. 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards your first year as a starter, yeah. Yeah, I feel pretty good about his passing. Yep. That seals it for me. League MVP his first year, 50 touchdowns, over 5,000 yards passing, yeah. I'd say that I think he's good enough.
I mean, I agree.
So he's top of tier two for you guys.
Yes.
Yes. Yep. I'm just saying we have, and I'm not, the point is not to say that he cannot remain at this level or even get better. The point is we have had quarterbacks burst onto the scene and take over and have people go nuts and go crazy. And it just doesn't work out, okay? Because there's flaws, and the NFL is pretty smart, and they figure things out. Or the body starts breaking down because of a certain style. And I'm just telling you that I do wonder if he can stay at this pace, because I think he's going to have to refine his game a little bit to last in this league. I don't think you can do that, even though the rules do allow – it's definitely easier now – been back with some of the other guys that we mentioned because the league was set up different with different rules. It certainly helps the offenses out more, and you can't really touch the quarterback. So there's no fear really in these quarterbacks. Like it used to be, man, you took off downfield, watch out because they are coming for you. They are going to try to knock your head off. They're going to try to take you out, and that's not the case today. So that definitely benefits Lamar Jackson. But I'm just saying there's a whole lot of examples of guys that burst onto the scene and had special years, and they just could not sustain it in this league because it's hard. And I'm just saying it'll be fun to watch whether he can or can't. We'll come back and continue the discussion. Ben Roethlisberger is up next in Tier 2. We'll discuss him and Stafford and Matt Ryan. All those guys belong in there. Carson Wentz belong into Tier 2. Dak Prescott, how do you guys feel about him? Phillip Rivers, now in the Titans division. We'll do that to close out the third hour of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Return to me.
Don't forget you can stream us from anywhere in the world, or the beach, or Chuck, or Chase was last week and yesterday. Mm-hmm. Well, not yesterday. He was on his way back. You can download the Game Nashville app, which is free and easy to do, or you can enable Alexa Skill or Google Home, which is a setup we've got in rooms in our house. You can just ask it to play 102.5 The Game, or you can live stream from our website, which is thegamenashville.com. All easy options to listen to the show. Okay, so we're talking about Mike Sando. That's what started this hour from The Athletic, ranking the quarterbacks, which he does every year. Ben Roethlisberger, Big Ben, was a Tier 1 last year. He's now slipped to Tier 2, even got 5 Tier 3 votes. Dominated Tier 2 votes, 11 Tier 1 votes. So first time in the 7 years that they've been doing this that they haven't had, I believe, Roethlisberger in Tier 1. What do you guys make of that?
I certainly think it's justifiable at age 38 and coming off elbow surgery that, I mean, that's, it's realistic to say, hey, you got to show me at this stage of your career that you're still Tier 1.
Yeah, I agree with that. Willie, we need your equipment to hold out for 9 more minutes because I know you got a meeting. We need it to pull through. Here's my thing on Ben Roethlisberger, and this is where I respect his career. I think he's a Hall of Famer. He's done a lot, but I don't expect him to play 16 games this year. I think he's going to get hurt again at some point. And if I'm thinking that way, how can I sit here and say he's still Tier 1? Because if you're having injury questions about your quarterback, you can't, in my opinion. You can't put him in Tier 1. Now, you talk about making the throws. I still think Ben can make the throws. I'm going to have to watch him and see him stay upright and stay healthy to complete those throws. But I think if he is healthy, the Steelers are going to be a force. The Steelers are going to be a team that we're talking about that could be winning that division and making the playoffs. But it's a huge question. It's a ginormous question mark that he can still stay healthy and play 16 games, because right now I just don't think he can. So how can you sit here and say, yeah, that's a Tier 1 quarterback when you say, no, I don't think he can stay healthy?
Yeah, I think he's right where he belongs. Okay, yeah. So what about Matthew Stafford and Matt Ryan? What do you think about those guys?
Stafford to me, and you can make the same argument for him that you know, Barry Sanders is a Hall of Famer, but everybody said, yeah, he was just on some bad teams, some bad Lions teams. Stafford's been on some decent teams, and they just haven't done anything. But
11 years, no playoff victories.
Yeah.
And by the way, he's only 32. Seems like he's, you know, older than that. Feel like he's been around forever. He's also coming off a broken back.
Yeah. What does the quote say, though? What does it say? It says, if you landed him in Pittsburgh or San Francisco, you'd have a winner.
Probably.
Or you'd see a winner. And I agree with that.
Maybe it's just the franchise he's been with.
I think that has a lot to do with his career. And it stinks because coming out of college, you thought, oh, this kid's got it. And he's got a chance. But they just haven't surrounded him with – I mean, he had Megatron and still couldn't get to where they needed to be.
Pretty interesting how they compare him to Carson Palmer, both number one picks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And both didn't do a whole lot of postseason winning or hardly any. In fact, Carson Palmer didn't get one until the very end of his career in Arizona, right? In fact, with Bruce Arians, that's the first time he finally, I think, recorded a playoff victory. So that is an interesting comparison, all right? What about Matt Ryan? By the way, Matt Ryan, 8 Tier 3 votes.
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford had 7 Tier 3 votes.
I still...
Both were Tier 2s last year. They both stay in Tier 2.
Yeah, and then if you look at overall rankings, the top 10, Matt Ryan is the 10th on the list. Man, he's probably where... He's in the right tier. He's Tier 2. Is he the 10th best quarterback in the league, according to this? Probably not. I would probably put up, I would put Prescott in the 10th spot before I'd have Matt Ryan there.
Okay.
There's just, there are questions with the team.
Did you put Matt Ryan over Matthew Stafford?
Yeah. Yeah, I probably
would. So actually
you'd
squeeze out Stafford.
Yeah, I'd squeeze out Stafford. That's a good, because I don't like, Wentz I probably wouldn't put up ahead of him. Prescott I would. Rivers I would not. Kyler Murray still the question, and that's, you're going into tier three at that point. So yeah, I'd probably squeeze out Matt Stafford over Matt Ryan. But Matt Ryan is still the one where I just go, I've seen it. I've seen what it can look like. Can it get back there? And I just don't know if I can definitively say that it can.
Willie, what say you?
I think it's a great question. I think at this stage of his career, I do think Matt Ryan has lost a little bit. I think I would take Stafford is one of the toughest ones to evaluate. I that was really intrigued to see what people said. There was a very strong argument made by some who are a lot smarter than me in football that said if you put him on a better team, surrounded him with a better program, right? Just better defense, better running game, everything, you would see a star player. And I guess we'll never know, right? He's just going to be one of these guys that just keeps going along unless the Lions completely get it right and change and have a great team. Stafford will always be the same thing, right? It's been like
it feels that way.
You know, it doesn't seem to matter who's quarterbacking for the Lions, and he's been there a long time now.
Yeah.
So I think you got to go tier two. I'll give him a tier two.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. So what about Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott? I think those guys are interesting.
Very interesting.
Both were Prescott was tier three last year. Wentz was tier two last year.
Yeah, Wentz to me.
So
you,
Prescott
I don't think
moves
Wentz
up.
Has done anything to go down.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. The question is, Dak Prescott is clearly tier two. I think some people in his camp would argue that he's tier one, but I think he's got another level to go. I think he is midway up the ranks in tier two. His arrow is pointing up, but I think he's got to have that huge year where the postseason success is there. That's what's missing right now.
Yep, I would completely agree with that. But I also go back to that I think he's top 10. I know he's just outside in 12th, but I think he's top 10. Back real quick, my thing with back to Matt Ryan. My biggest question with the Falcons is not their quarterback; it's their head coach. That's my biggest. Can he help them? Because it all starts with him. They haven't rebounded since the Super Bowl loss. Can he rally everyone and finally get past that?
Well, it's not really the head coach then. You're questioning more. Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator when they made the run to the Super Bowl, and then he left.
True.
So
that's
you're
fair.
Probably questioning they haven't been able to replace the same level offensive coordinator for Matt Ryan than really the head coach part.
And it's Raheem Morris? Or is he defense? He's the DC. Who is their OC now?
It's a good question. They've gone through so many.
Yeah,
is it Sarkisian?
It's Dirk Cutter. It's
okay.
Dirk Cutter. Which he's going into his second year. So
I will say this, I'm not as big on Carson Wentz as everybody else.
I'm not that big on him.
Honestly, the verdict is still out on me. He's not tier one. I guess I would put him in tier two, but I think he's on the cusp of tier two and tier three, in my opinion. And I know people feel way higher about him than that, but I think he's on, in my mind, he's not far from tier three. He's right there on the border. He can see the border of tier three. And in my world.
I agree.
And the other guy, Dak Prescott, we talked about was tier three last year, so he goes up, but still getting 14 tier three votes. And so that's the big question Dallas has got to figure out. Like, how do you pay that guy, right? What is he?
Yeah, and he's going to have – only he can prove what he is with this season. And I think Willie hit it on, you know, hit the nail on the head. Their postseason success has to be a part of that. I mean, Dallas, I think, has a really good team. But what are they going to do with it?
I thought Phillip Rivers sneaky. I wasn't sure he'd be in tier two, quite honestly. I'm a little surprised by that.
I think he's more of a tier three at this point.
I think he's tier three at this point in his career, personally. So. Last year he was tier one. I think he's tier three.
I agree.
Personally, I think he's high in tier three. I think he's tier three. I would not have put him in tier two. And I know he barely made it into tier two, but I would have expected him to be in tier three.
Did you find the voting for Kyler Murray interesting? 19 well, tier two?
Not after listening to Sean, our last interview with Sean Salisbury.
He loves
him. The last couple of weeks. I mean, he could not have given him a bigger ringing endorsement. I mean, it's not if, it's when. Like, Sean Salisbury is like, it's not if he's going to be a star. It's when is he going to be a star. He is the real deal. So, I mean, we have him on enough. He's a former quarterback. I trust him. I trust his eyes over mine.
Sure.
So, we'll see. But, I mean, I'll never forget him in the last couple of weeks when we talked to Sean Salisbury. I mean, he just – you remember he went, like, over the top about Kyler Murray. And I was like, woo, okay, you really like him. And he really likes him. Clearly, yep. Arizona wants him, Sean Salisbury, to be right as the number one pick overall in Nashville to Arizona. All right, we will come back, have the fourth and final hour of Darren Donick and Chase. That is next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.